We're going to start this morning with the mammoth task of getting people back to work on the East Coast this morning. Obviously complicated in states like Vermont, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania, where the floodwaters are still rising at this point. But even in New York, which, as you've probably heard, largely escaped most of the damage from Hurricane Irene, it's not all that easy, partially because they shut down all the transportation systems and they shut down all the flights going out of the three airports here. And what that means is as many as 12,000 flights were canceled. People were stuck at the airport, some of them since Friday, and it hurt businesses as well. Samsung, for example, had to delay the planned release of its newest phone because it couldn't get its shipments into New York. Weddings were canceled. Convention goers stuck in Las Vegas. And there are people who, like I said, camped out at JFK, and that's where Femi Oke is there. Good morning, Femi.
Good morning, Seth.
So we're told that flights will be resuming soon. What does that word soon mean?
Well, this is what the passengers are asking as well. I'm looking at the checking in board here. The first flight that looks like it will actually take off looks like the 11A to Minneapolis. And this is from JFK Terminal 4. But the lines are huge and the passengers are looking very miserable. At the front of the terminal, you've got hope. These are people lining up, hoping to check in. At the back, you actually have about 100 cots, maybe more or so, and then people camped out with blankets over their faces, obviously not going anywhere anytime soon.
That's Femi Oke. The takeaway is Femi Oke at JFK. And one of the stranded travelers at JFK, Ted Hardy. Good morning, sir. Ted, are you with us?
Yes, this is Ted. Good morning, Celeste.
How long have you been at the airport?
Hello?
Ted, can you hear me?
This is Ted speaking. Good morning.
I think he's having trouble hearing me. Also with us, Barbara Peterson, aviation writer for Condé Nast Traveler. Barbara, you know, are the airlines more likely to overestimate a danger of this kind to make sure that nothing goes wrong, or underestimate it so they don't have to cancel flights and lose the income?
Well, it's a tricky business, and actually in the past, they would do the latter. They would actually wait until much closer to the predicted event for the reasons you just said. They, you know, didn't want to lose all that money. However, the cleanup could be so expensive and so prolonged because of that, because of the whole complicated process of bringing people back, you know, the crews, the planes, that they've, in the past few years, been more prone to doing what we call preemptive cancellations. For example, on Friday, JetBlue canceled several hundred flights, you know, even though no rain had started falling. So, you know, a lot of the airlines, especially in the very congested New York area, I mean, the three New York airports are the busiest, you know, it's the busiest single airport system in the country. They just wanted to get planes out of the hurricane's way and wanted to make the restoration of service a little bit easier when, you know, the hurricane finally passed through. I think that we've seen in the past few years when we've had these massive storms that it has worked better than it did in the past. But, of course, it's going to be hard to bring the system back after something like this.
Well, I want to play for you, Barbara, this comment from a stranded traveler that Femi Oke spoke with at JFK. Take a listen to Emily.
We're just waiting to have information because we have no information. We wait. We are waiting. Don't know for why. Don't know for when. On floor, and it's difficult.
You know, Barbara, that seems an odd thing to me. They have all these passengers in the airport. They've got a PA system, right? They've got boards everywhere. Is it really that difficult to get information out to people?
Yes. It shouldn't be difficult, but it is. And one of the things that's happened in the past few years, you know, with the airlines losing a lot of money, is they've cut back a lot on customer service staff. They've tried to do everything by, you know, Twitter and email and you know, do-it-yourself check-in kiosks and that sort of thing. And that's really a reflection of the fact that the airlines had some really tough years there. And one of the first things to go, I guess, is the, you know, human touch, unfortunately. And so there are fewer staff. And that means when you have a situation like this, it really shows. The situation really is strained.
Well, we have got the takeaways, Femi Oke. That's Barbara Peterson of Condé Nast Traveler. But Femi Oke, you're still at JFK. So tell me what the mood of the travelers is like there. Is there a sort of annoyance over the lack of information, or do they feel like their flight was canceled or delayed unnecessarily?
Let me just test the mood of the travelers here. You're on the takeaway, it's a live radio show. What is your mood as you're waiting for your flight? People aren't happy. It's crazy?
Yes, it's crazy.
Okay, it's crazy, Celeste. People are looking very miserable. They're exhausted, but people aren't angry. They're just resigned and exhausted.
Resigned and exhausted. Barbara Peterson, resigned. Does that surprise you that people aren't outraged? They're resigned?
Well, I think that there might be more outrage if it weren't such a terrible storm. I mean, I really do think that most people understand that, you know, it's a hurricane. After all, the airline really doesn't have any control over nature. And that, yes, while you might wish that there was more and better information, I think that it's not going to generate the same type of outrage as, you know, those summers of delays that we've had over the past few years where it didn't seem to be any reason for it. You know, you would find yourself sitting out on the tarmac for 4 or 5 hours waiting to take off, and there was no apparent reason. That's the type of thing that does make people very angry. I think in situations like that, like this one, people understand that, there's a lot that the airlines just have no control over.
We're speaking with Barbara Peterson, aviation writer for Condé Nast Traveler. So, Barbara, what do you see happening differently now than you have in disasters of the past? What have we learned from storms and natural disasters that occurred in years gone by?
Yeah, I think that people are savvier. People are trying to use the internet to the extent that it can help keep them up to date. And I think also people are aware, too, that there is a different mood now, that the airlines really are having to do more for the customers, and that's partly because there are new regulations now and everything from bumping refunds to, compensation if you're stuck out on the tarmac. So I think that ultimately that's resulted in a system that is working better.
As Barbara Peterson, aviation writer for Condé Nast Traveler, we also got a report from Femi Oké of The Takeaway. She's at JFK Airport. Certainly, we want to hear your reports as well. Tell us if you're trying to travel today, whether it's maybe smooth going or it's a little bit frustrating for you. 877-8-MY-TAKE. Coming up, we'll get a live update from Vermont, where the flooding is perhaps at the worst. Now let's take a look at some other headlines we're following at a quarter past the hour. A CIA drone has reportedly killed Al-Qaeda's second-ranking figure somewhere in the mountains of Pakistan. Atiyah Abdul al-Rahman was Al-Qaeda's operational planner. He had been Osama bin Laden's liaison to Al-Qaeda affiliates. American officials confirmed the attack over the weekend, but there are reports that some Pakistani officials dispute his death. In Iraq, 29 people were killed, 38 injured when a bomb exploded in Baghdad's largest Sunni mosque. The attack targeted worshippers who were praying in special services 2 days before the end of the Muslim holy month of Ramadan. The head of Libya's National Transitional Council says Muammar Gaddafi still poses a danger for Libya and the world. The NTC has repeated its calls for NATO and other allies to continue supporting the rebels in their uprising against Gaddafi's regime. Meanwhile, the health coordinator for Libya's NTC says charred bodies have been found in hospitals across Tripoli.
I know the Buslim hospital, there will be about 75 bodies. And yesterday in Yarmouk hospital, in Yarmouk brigade, there's about 45 bodies.
Doctors and nurses reportedly fled after clashes erupted near at least one hospital. Some residents have accused the Gaddafi regime of killing hospital patients, but it's not yet clear how they died. And Japan's finance minister, Yoshihiko Noda, is set to become the country's next prime minister. He was elected chief of the ruling party that clears the way for him to take over the reins of the country. Noda will be Japan's sixth prime minister in 5 years. You're listening to The Takeaway. You can respond to anything that you hear at 877-8-MY-TAKE. Coming up, if you're in Philadelphia, New Jersey, southern Vermont, you may be experiencing record flooding at this point. We'll get an update on the aftermath of Hurricane Irene in a moment.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.